buckle up, baby, because we're going to read from Philippians chapter 1, beginning of verse number 12 through verse number 26. And I'm reading from the NIV, and on the screen is the NIV, but I realize there's a more modern version of the NIV. I'm still going to read out of the one that I got because my Bible's all marked up, and I like to use the marks that I got in my Bible as well. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served, this is verse number 12, has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, this is Paul talking, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. I am in chains for Christ. Say it with me. I am in chains for Christ. About four of you said it. Let's all say it. I am in chains for Christ. Verse 14. Because of my chains, let's see, this is Paul. He's talking to us from a prison cell. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. Paul is telling us that not everybody likes me. Not everybody, by the way, is supposed to like you. If everyone likes you, you're probably not doing something right. Can someone say amen? It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. I am put here for the defense of the gospel. I am put here. It is not an accident. I may have been sentenced by the Romans to this prison, but it is not an accident. I was put here by God. Can someone say amen? So what you're going through right now, it might have been the doing of somebody else in your life, but God is going to use it to redeem and bring about redemption into your life and to other people. So just, because I told you, we got to go through verse number 26. The former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Not because life is easy, not because life is good right now, not because life is fun right now, but because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Maybe you can own that. Maybe you should underline that for you, right? Maybe what you've gone through, you can claim that as your, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And if I am going on in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I think that's a funny one. Yet what shall I choose? Paul, I don't know if you have a choice. Dude, you are in prison. What shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary. He wants to go to heaven. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? Yes? He wants to go to heaven. But he's saying, but I will remain in the body, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. That is a lot of verses. That's a lot of verses. Let's see if we can break it down and find the bologna in this sandwich. Can we do that? So I want to look at a couple of verses here. I want you to kind of focus on the first verse I want us to look at here is verse number 13, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 13. And he says, I am in chains for Christ. And then I want you to also look at verse number 22, because he says, yet what shall I choose? The title of my message this morning, in the standalone message that I really believe is anointed by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, has the potential to really help you in your walk with God, is simply, what chain will you choose? What chain will you choose? Philippians is one of four books in the Bible that is affectionately known as the captivity letters, the prison epistles. They're letters that Paul wrote while he was in prison. These are letters to encourage the churches that he had planted some decades prior to being put in this prison cell and being chained to the guards. These are letters. In fact, did you know these four books, which are Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, and Colossians, all four of these books, by the way, are the prison epistles, which we're studying right now in the Ministry Training Center. We're going through what the prison epistles mean. And what I would really like us to identify and understand from this is these are the happiest books in the Bible. In fact, the number one happiest book in the Bible that has more encouraging words, that has more motivational words, more inspirational words, is the book of Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Even though my feet are shackled, my arms are chained, and I'm behind a prison cell wall in the inner part of the prison where I can't see any daylight, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You see, the prison epistles are inspirational books. They're inspirational letters. But you see, Paul was in prison, but he wasn't in prison. He was written from, it's a paradox. Paul is writing about the progress of the gospel, the way that the movement of Jesus Christ is moving forward when he himself is on lockdown. The freedom that comes from Jesus is what he's celebrating when he finds himself locked up in jail. It's a paradox. Here's what I get. Sometimes it's when you're in the worst situation in your life that God will do the most through you. I'm going to need you to help me a little bit preach this message this morning. Sometimes when you feel completely limited and you have lost all control, that's when God has you in a place of surrender in your life, which is where he can do the deep work in your life of transforming you from glory to glory. Paul is older now in Philippians. It's been decades have passed by since he was knocked off his horse as he was on his way to Damascus, and he was blinded, and, you know, God blinded him so that he could see, right? Anyway, it's been decades since this has taken place, and Paul is now at the point in his life that he is past needing people to like him anymore. How many of y'all looking forward to getting that point in your life, right? I just don't need people to like me anymore. I think that's what Paul is communicating. I don't need people to like me. You see, the only thing that matters to Paul right now is purpose. Purpose, not popularity. Purpose, not promotion. Purpose, not prosperity, but purpose is what matters to him the most. Paul has passed the point of needing people to validate him in his life and in his ministry. And that's why it says in verse number 18, but what does it matter? I had a thought this week. Remember WWJD? What would Jesus do? Do y'all remember that, right? The bracelets and all the things and the bumper stickers. I think we could start a whole new trend. I think we could do this. We could do like WDIM. What do you think, man? Brian, you think so? WDIM, baby. WDIM. What does it matter? How much better would we sleep at night? How much stress would disappear if we could embrace Paul's mantra in the middle of a prison cell? What does it matter? Paul had been through a lot. He had been beaten. He had been lied to. He had been lied about. He had been shipwrecked and beaten, run out of town. And we know that Paul had been through it all. They threw him in prison. Pause, because we got to visit this for just a second. Earlier in Paul's ministry, he was thrown into prison. He was in the community of Philippi when he was first on his church planting mission. One of the reasons why I like Paul so much is because I feel like I've been called to an apostolic church planting ministry in my life. And I've been called to plant churches where there really wasn't a giant church presence in our particular region. And so I study Paul and I appreciate Paul. Paul's life was spent planting churches in areas and in regions where they didn't have churches, in the Gentile areas of, in other words, people who weren't the people of God, weren't the places you'd expect maybe a church to grow and to thrive. And so Paul would plant these churches, and one time he wanted to plant a church in Philippi. So, you know, he did, and they threw him in prison. And he's in prison, and he finds himself, his feet are in stocks, and his back has been beaten raw, and it's midnight, and Paul does what everybody does when they're thrown into prison. When you find yourself there, he starts to praise God. He starts to praise God in the middle of the prison, because I believe this is what Paul knew, and maybe you can know this in the middle of your prison as well today, that you can either let the chains break your praise, or you can let your praise break the chains. Can someone say amen, right? Yes, you got a choice to make in your life. And so when Paul praised God in prison, the Bible tells me that in Philippi, when he was in that prison, and he praised God in the midnight hour, that his chains fell off, and the chains fell off of everybody else that was in the same prison. Because sometimes God will use your situation, your challenge, your problem, your difficulty, your tribulation, so that someone else can be set free. God is not wasting your pain. In fact, God is using some of you in this room to break generational curses in your own family, because you're willing to embrace the chains that you've got on your body, on your life, on your mind, on your spirit, even now. You're not ignoring them. You're not giving them a wink and a nudge. You're not thinking, well, that's just the way it is, but you're embracing them. Paul said, what does it matter? What does it matter when other people insult you? What does it matter when other people betray you? Sure, it hurts, but really, what does it matter when you get hurt? They don't have the power to put you in heaven or in hell. They don't have the power to put a crown upon your head. They don't have the power to cup your face and look you in the eye and say, well done, good and faithful servant. They don't have the power to heal you. They don't have the power to deliver you. They don't have the power to anoint you or to empower you. And they don't have the power to complete you. Why are you living for people who can't complete you? Only Jesus Christ can complete you. Because, and here's the key, I want you to get this. You're chained. You're chained to something. And Paul is communicating to us that it might look like he is in prison, chained to the Roman guards. But you hear me, and I want you to hear me well this morning. Actually, he's saying, these guards are chained to me. He's communicating. I wouldn't choose these chains, but if it takes these chains to set somebody else free, if it takes my pain to break the back and bring healing to somebody else, if it takes my loneliness to usher in real joy into my life, if it takes my disappointment to show the glory of God evident and revealed in this world, I didn't choose these chains. But the important thing is, when you say that phrase, the important thing is, whatever follows that phrase, but the important thing is, whatever comes after the dot, 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 it's gonna reveal in your life where you put your joy. It's gonna reveal in your life what you're chained to. Look at verse number 18 again. I'll read it from the screen this time. But what does it matter? The important thing is, when somebody says the important thing is, your ears kind of perk up. I want to know what you think the important thing is, right? Because if this is the important thing to you, I got to see if your priorities are in line. I got to see if we gel, if we're equally yoked in this relationship. What is the important thing to you? The important thing is, if the important thing to you is that people like you, then when people like you, you're gonna like you. But when people don't like you, you stop liking you. And if the important thing to you is that God loves you, then when people like you, you will like you. And when people don't like you, you will still like you, because God is the one that is the important thing is that God loves me. Okay. If the important thing is comfort in your life, then when everything is just right and the temperature is 72.2 and the sun is just right in the sky and the breeze is blowing just the way you want it to and people are smiling and waving and letting you go first, I mean, and all of a sudden the line opens up for you at the grocery store when it doesn't open. I'm just, if the important thing for you is comfort, and you've got the big house and the boats and the cars, and you've got all the stuff that makes you comfortable in your life. And I'm not putting those things down, but if the important thing is comfort, then when everything is just right, you're going to be happy. You will. You'll be happy. But when everything is not right, you'll be miserable. You're going to be miserable. But if the important thing is not comfort, but rather calling in your life, then when everything is right, well, you're going to be happy. I mean, we'd be foolish to lie and say when everything's right, you wouldn't be happy, because happiness is always based upon happenings, and the happenings around you are just right, and therefore you're going to be happy. But when everything is not right, you're going to be happy anyway, because with Jesus, here's what I know, you can be in a miserable situation and you can turn it into a ministry, because the important thing is my calling trumps my comfort. I wish somebody wake up in here, because I'm so excited about this. I just can't. I want to shout and scream. I'm really excited. For Paul, his feet may have been locked up and his hands might have been in chains, but his mind is free. And to Paul, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. Because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I'll continue. Christ is preached. But the important thing is Christ is preached. You know, one of the awesome privileges that God gave human beings is free will. I mean, we get the choice. We get to choose. He designed us that way. So you get to choose what comes after those four words. The important thing is, and you get to choose that. But listen, you cannot have God's peace without following God's priorities. So you do get to choose, but you can't have it without following his priorities first. If you chain your joy to the way your spouse treats you, if you chain your joy to how that crazy coworker in the cubicle next, you know who I'm talking about, right? That you saw it in her eyes before you even really talked to her, and you know she's crazy. And if you chain your joy to that person, how they act toward, if you chain your joy to the decisions that your boss makes, if you chain your joy to the car you drive or to the house that you live in, if you chain your, it's going to leave you empty. It's going to leave you empty. So you got to find something else to chain your joy to. And Paul said it's for purpose. It wasn't for my popularity. I'm not worried about promotion. I'm not worried about prosperity. I'm in prison, for heaven's sakes. And so it says in verse 22, yet what shall I choose? See, Paul had a choice. I think he's saying, Jesus didn't put me in these chains, but now that these chains are on me, I choose to be in these chains for Jesus. Do you see how he flips the script and changes everything and has a perspective shift in his life? And you have a choice. God didn't give me this disease. God didn't bring me this divorce. God didn't bring me this abuse. God didn't cause this loss. I wouldn't choose it. You wouldn't choose it, but we can't change it. So God, will you use these chains to change me and use these chains to change other people? Will you make me an example, Almighty God, of your everlasting grace? Let people see that in my life. But God's not the only one who gives a choice. And here we go. The devil comes. And the devil has the power to give us choices also. And so he does. And he gives us a power of choice. And so the power, you know, let's talk about when we were younger. How about that? Here's what I wish. I wish I could go back and preach to my younger self. Does anybody wish you could do that? I wish I could go back and talk to my younger self and say, knock it off, you knucklehead, right? Pay attention, because this is very important. I wish somebody would have looked me in the eyes, like we're trying to look your kids in the eyes, to reinforce what you're looking them in the eyes and telling them, and we're hoping that somehow they're going to get some sort of sanity moment and they'll pay attention, and it'll, y'all know what I'm talking about, it'll sink in, because the devil comes and he gives you a choice. He gives you a choice. So you're 13 years old, and you get around some of your friends, and so just so happens your friends parents have left their home, and you're at the house, and there's a bunch of friends that are over there, and they want you to, oh, look at this porn. They want you just to take a look at it, and you don't want to look at it, but they keep saying it's just a little porn. It's just one-time porn. And you're supposed to look at this porn, and they're calling you gay, and they're calling you weird because you don't want to participate in looking at it. So you look at it, and what you did was the devil convinced you to make a choice. And we make the choice. Listen, the choice is not going to send you to hell. One choice like that is not. Listen, you can mess up, and the grace of God is still. I said you can mess up, and the grace of God is still sufficient. But you listen to this whole message. Don't just take that as an excuse to be able to continue down your depravity. But the devil's coming in, and he convinced you to make a choice. It's not going to send you to hell. The grace of God has still got you covered. It's just a choice. But what you don't know is when you make choices like that, a choice very quickly can lead you to a habit. And that habit then is where that Satan has you. I looked once, what's it gonna hurt to look again? I mean, I lied once, I'll lie again. I cheated once. Well, I'll just cheat again. And here's the deal. In all of the areas of sin in our lives that Satan is really trying to take us down to, what happens is it takes more of the sin to give us the rush. You know what I'm talking about? To give us the rush that we had the first time that we did it. So now it's not just prayer requests that I'm receiving from other people that I'm sharing, but I have become a habitual gossiper, and I'm disappointing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm causing dissension in the church because it started with a choice, and now it's become a habit. It's not just a glass of wine to relax. Now you need to have a drink. It's not just getting mad when you have a good reason. Now you live an angry lifestyle. It started with a choice, and that choice became a habit. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. But here's the problem with when it starts with a choice and it becomes a habit is when we go very quickly and we descend very quickly to the next level, because that habit very quickly becomes what I'm going to call automatic. Isn't that true? The habit in your life just now it just happens. It's just my go-to. Because it started with a choice, and it became a habit. Now it's automatic. It's just what happens. It's my default setting in my life. It's what I do. It's how I'm known, whether I think I'm doing it in secret or not. It's automatic. It's just what you do to get your way. If it means you got to lie, if it means you got to cheat, if it means you got to deceive. It's just, I mean, it was a choice you made. Wow, it worked out pretty good. So it kind of became a habit in your life. And now it's just automatic. And you're like, I can't stop lying. And likely you hate yourself after you do it. Whatever it is, whatever the choice is. Likely you just hate yourself. But it got you what you wanted, so you do it again. Paul even spoke about this about himself in Romans chapter 7, verse number 15. He said, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do. I think he's talking to us. This is after Paul was saved, by the way. This isn't before he came to know Jesus Christ. This is after he knew Jesus. This is after he was born again. And this is your life story as well. Because this is my life story as well. And if we're going to break it down and be raw and be real, if we're not going to be these pretend mask on Christ followers, but if we're going to be real and authentic, we get it. We understand what it says. That the choice became a habit. And at the time, I didn't think it was a very big deal, but the habit became automatic. And now I do the habit all the time. Forgiveness. I didn't forgive that one person, and I let bitterness get a hold of me. They hurt me so bad, I felt justified to not forgive them. But then the bitterness didn't just latch on to the one person, but now I feel bitterness toward a myriad of different people in my life, and I start getting mad at everybody because it was my habit. Now when something doesn't go my way, now when people don't listen to me, the first response is to blame other people because it became automatic. Because I started with a choice. that I didn't forgive somebody, and it became a habit, and now it's automatic in my life. How about complaining? Some of y'all are like, don't talk about that, Troy. Because on the way to church this morning, y'all had a problem with complaining. And I'm just saying, I used to not complain, but that one time I made a choice to complain because something got really bad in my life, and it kind of felt good to get it out. It kind of felt good to kind of vomit all over the people around me because I felt a whole lot better. But now instead of his praise will continually be on my lips, now instead it's complaining will continually be on my lips. It's a habit. It's automatic. It's the first instinct in my life is to complain. What a great example as a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe I should say sarcasm now because I was just a little sarcastic if you didn't get that. Maybe for you it was you got offended. You made the choice that one time to get offended. You're like, listen, being offended is not a choice. It is not a choice. It is a reaction. It is a response, and that is a lie from the pit of hell. You choose to take on an offense. You're like, but they did this? Yes, but we talked about this. We spent a whole series, 7-8 weeks, talking about being triggered and what you're supposed to do when you're triggered. You don't have to take on an offense. That's called S-I-N, when you take on an offense. And I made the choice to be offended that one time, and someone hurt me, and I chose to let that hurt remain inside of me. I didn't seek help. I didn't give it to Jesus. I didn't let it heal. Now what I'm doing is I'm pushing good people, good relationships in my life. I'm pushing them away. It was a choice that became a habit, and now it's automatic in my life. And if you're not careful, friend, if you're not careful, what will happen is when it becomes automatic, it's very easy. Very easy for it to become your identity. Now you're a slave to fear. Now you're a slave to anger. Now you're a slave to sin in your life. I made the choice. It became a habit, which became automatic, and now it is my identity. These are the things that we tend to lock inside of us. These are the things that we don't want anybody else to know. We don't want the illumination of the power of God's word. We certainly don't want the preacher meddling in our life over these things. Can't you just tell us how wonderful it is that the baby came in the manger? But that baby came to redeem your life. Everything you want to admit and everything you don't want to admit. He wants to redeem the entire person. He wants to help you become a better version, a 2.0 version of you. Not for you, but for him. You don't want to be this way, but it's your identity now. But that's not where it ends, because once it becomes your identity, what happens then is it becomes your very nature. And now you've taken on the sin nature that the enemy wants you to take on so bad, and you are in a chain. This is what life is like for you. Listen, can you just teach me how to parent my kids? Can you just give me some tips? Here's a great tip. They're going to make some choices. They're going to lead to some habits that are going to become automatic. And if they're not careful, it's going to become their identity. And if that's going to become their sin nature, and you're like, how do I keep my kids from becoming rebellious teenagers? You start with the choices they make that's going to develop the habits in their life, that's going to become automatic response for them, that's going to become their nature and eventually, their identity, and eventually it's going to become the very sin nature that Satan came to steal and to kill and to destroy. He didn't come to pick on and to bully and to make you feel bad. He has a vendetta against you and your family and your children and your children's children as far as it can go. He wants to take you out. And this is how he does it. Because what I want you to see is I want you to see this. Listen, today's choices become tomorrow's chains. Michael, would you come help me? I didn't plan this. I wrote it down in my notes, but I didn't tell you to plan this. Michael has a calling and a purpose in his life. Michael is dating my daughter, and so he's a wannabe. We love Michael. We have embraced him as a part of our family, and we very much respect and appreciate his growth. He is a worshiper, and the enemy knows that. And so Michael has said, I feel a call from Almighty God to serve him with my whole life. and I commit my life to this call. And so what's going to happen is the enemy is going to come in early in your life. He's going to try to come in ways that you aren't expecting it to. He's going to try to come in early. Let me see your wrist. The other one, do this one because it's closer. Yeah, he's going to come in early, and what he's going to try to do is he's going to try to get you to make choices, and those choices are going to be choices that are about your friends, choices about the culture of the world. Did God really say one man, one woman? He's going to try to make some choices about things that you want, the outlook you have on life and in your ministry. He's going to try to distract you. He's going to try to just get you off your proper priorities. I'm telling you what, this is all real stuff, and it's all happened probably like in the last 30 days in your life, what the devil is trying to do, because he's doing it to everybody else out here as well. He's trying to give us those choices. And what he wants is he wants you to get locked up is what he wants. And he wants you to get locked up. And here's what he does. He wants to lock you up so that he can chain you up. And if he can chain you up, well, he's got you. And so you feel in your life, you feel, well, I feel like God has a call in my life. And I want to pursue that calling. And so you walk that way to try to pursue your calling. He's like, you're not going anywhere. Because I got you. Because I got you to make a choice. And that choice became a habit. And now it's automatic. It's become your identity. And you've accepted my very nature. And so you say in your life, I want to follow Jesus. Not just follow Jesus, I want to be all in. I want to go on the mission with Jesus. And you try to go, and he's like, you're not going anywhere, son. He's got you locked up because you made a choice. And you made the choice that the enemy convinced you was right. And so you get married to the greatest woman in the whole wide world. You better know that, right? You get married and you decide you want to have a family and you want to have children. And so you say, I'm going to raise children. And I'm going to have a family better than my family. And I'm going to do it my way. And you walk that path, and Michael, go that way. You walk that path, and Satan says, wait a minute, you made some choices. And those choices you made, you can't have the family you want to have. You can't have the marriage you want to have. You can't have the joy you want to have. You can't have the happiness that you want to have, because Satan has you locked up. He has you locked up because of the choices you made, because of the habits you developed, because it's become automatic, because it's your identity and it's become your very nature. And I got you locked up and you can't go anywhere is what Satan is saying to you. And he's saying it to you. And he's saying it to me. Some of us have spent decades being locked up and being drug around by the choices that we have made in the past. And you've wasted so much time. You've wasted too much time doing that. These choices you've made have held you back. And I've got good news for you. You don't got to do it anymore. You don't have to do it. You don't have to spend the rest of your life being drug around by the decisions of your past. Yeah, you got to come with me no matter what, don't you? Because I know a chain breaker. Come on up here, girl. Because my Bible tells me that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that what the Bible says? And you go sit down for a second, baby. And you stay right there. Now, I need you to notice a couple things about this. Paul said, I found another chain. Paul said, I found another chain. And that chain, I'll just get it right now. He said that chain is called grace. You're chained to something. He said, I found another chain, and that chain is called grace. Paul served notice on the devil. I'm not chained to the Roman guards, but I'm chained to grace in my life. I have found a love in my life that will not let go. I found a love and a joy in my life that is not going to be stopped. And so Paul made a choice. Are you getting this? Paul made a choice. He had options. And by the way, this grace chain is much bigger than the devil's chain. Paul had options. And so, Michael, you're serving the Lord. And you choose Jesus instead of choosing the choices of the enemy. And then when you're tempted to go the way of the enemy, walk that way. Grace says, no, you're in my grip. When you're tempted to do things your way instead of God's way, and grace says, no, wait a minute. I love you too much to let you go. When you're tempted to go the route of repeating the generational things that have taken place in your family lineage that haven't been pleasing to God, and you try to go that way in your parenting, your marriage, grace says, wait a minute, there's a better way. Because Paul chose to be chained, this is so good, Paul chose to be chained to grace. Even when you try to get away, you're safe in the grip of grace. My Bible tells me that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that freedom that comes, what it means is God is pulling me closer and closer and closer and closer all the time. Listen, there's still evidence of the former chain. It's not gone. God chose to forget about it. God chose to remember it no more. God said it's been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. I mean, God said it's as far away as the east is from the west, but it's still there for you because you're not God and I'm not God. And here's what I want you to know. Some of y'all have a lot of these little chains hanging from around your wrists this morning. And it's not a bad thing. This little chain doesn't control Michael. This little chain has no hold on him that's going to direct the steps of his life, but God is going to use the pain of your past. God is going to use the chains of your past to set somebody else free, Michael. That's what God is going to do. This plan is a big plan. This plan is a huge plan. I want you to take these and go have a seat for me, and I'm really proud of you. Let's give it up for Michael. Tell you, I picked somebody else for the second gathering. No idea what the Spirit of the Lord is going to do, but I picked and the Lord picked, and I'm proud of you, and I can see that that's done something inside of you. Here's my point. My wife has said, Troy, you like to talk a whole lot, so I need to start using a phrase because I can't always follow you. You don't give me a roadmap, so I'd like to be able to follow you in our conversation as we get older so you don't frustrate me. So here's what I'd like you to do is after you've said a whole lot of stuff, I want you to start using a phrase, and that this is the phrase that we've decided that's best for me to use. The phrase that's best for me to use, and here's the phrase. I say all that to say, and then I say my main idea, my big point. And so I say all that to say, I mean, let me tell you what, you cross a threshold in your marriage, it's not done yet. Oh, it's just a whole nother level of work. Can I just be honest with you? It's just a whole nother level of work that becomes joy. But it's a whole nother level of work. And you think, if I can cross that threshold, sure, some of you young marrieds are going to be soon to be married are thinking, yeah, but when I can get to your place... It don't get no easier. It just is different, right? It doesn't mean you don't love each other. you have a choice. And that's what I say all this to say, you have a choice today. Everybody's serving something. Choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? Because you're chained to something. And yes, the message is about the chain breaker. The message is about Jesus comes and Jesus came. And that's why he was born some 2,000 years ago as a baby in the manger, because he came to break every single chain that we have in our life. And yes, the message is about he's a chain breaker. But more than that, he doesn't just want to break your chains, because that's what people want. They want deliverance. They want freedom. They want the pain to stop. But until you attach yourself to Jesus, until you truly and intentionally chain yourself by grace to the one who saved you, to the one who delivered you, until you do that, you will not find joy. You will not find lasting peace. And you will not find the happiness that your body, that your mind, that your spirit, that your soul craves so much. The enemy of our souls, through selfishness and anger, that's the choice some people make. I'm just going to live there. I'm going to remain angry. I'm going to remain upset. I'm going to remain suspicious. I'm going to remain jealous. I'm going to remain fill in the blank. But Jesus Christ is the other choice, and he's the only one that offers hope. He's the only one that offers healing. He's the only one that offers real happiness. And the better option is Jesus, because when you choose Jesus, I mean, really choose Jesus, you made the choice. His ways, according to his word, become a habit. And that habit, praise God, can become automatic in your life. And when that becomes automatic in your life, you take on the identity of Jesus Christ in your life. And when you do that, then his nature becomes your nature. That's how it works with God too. And his chain is bigger than the chain of Satan. I know I'm talking to a crowd that I'm pretty familiar with, but I am always amazed in a very wonderful way that when I think I'm looking at a crowd that's got it all together, I find that I'm looking at a crowd that has not got it all together at all. It's okay. You need to know you're looking at a preacher who doesn't have it all together as a husband, who doesn't have it all together as a man, who doesn't have it all together as a dad, who doesn't have it all together as a leader. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, fix your eyes upon him, the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't fix your eyes upon a human being. Listen, we're all broken. And these messages over these past few weeks, if nothing else, have revealed to us that we're all broken, but God will use our brokenness to bring about something powerful in us and through us. And so the question that I have for you is, who are you serving? Because who you're serving is who you're a servant to. Let's pray together. God, in Jesus' name, we come before you and we ask that you would give us a spiritual mirror to help us see ourselves as we really are. And I'm asking that you would protect us from the enemy who is right now trying to tell us how horrible we are, because that's not what you want for us either. But rather, God, I want us to look in a mirror of honesty, transparency, and you enable us, God, to be able to see ourselves. And are there chains because of the choices that we've made? The choice that became a habit. And we didn't want it to become a habit, but now it's automatic. And that automatic, it's not, we feel terrible about it, but it's become our identity. And we don't think we can do anything about it. How are we ever going to get loose from this chain? And so it's become part of our very nature. I mean, it really kind of defines us, and it's in secret, and we don't want anybody to know. And so we put on a mask, and we start speaking Christianese, and we try to hide ourselves, and we camouflage this, and this isn't who God wants us to be. And it's not a guilt thing. It's a drawing thing. And so we today decide that we want to be attached to you, Lord, by your grace. And so, Lord, would you cut the chain of Satan and all the devilish, demonic, evil, horrible things, choices that he put before me that I allowed to come into my life. Would you break every single chain in my life? And Lord, would you allow me to be attached to you in the bigger chain? Allow me to be attached to you by the grace of Almighty God. And may the attachment that I have to you, the choice that I'm making today, become a godly habit, become a godly automatic, become godly identity, and may it become the godly nature that you designed for me to be. God, would you help me today? I need your help with this because I've tried to deal with it on my own. I've tried to cut the chains on my own. I've done everything I could do to get rid of this chain, but I can't seem to get loose. And so today, God, today, God, is a chain-breaking Sunday. Today, God, is a deliverance Sunday. Today, God, is a freedom Sunday. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to keep walking down the same path. I don't want to keep thinking the same thoughts. I don't want to keep doing the same things. I'm asking for your help. God, I'm asking for your help. I'm asking for your help. I'm going to ask that we dim the lights in the entire auditorium, please. I'm just going to open up for you an opportunity to have the chains in your life broken. I'm going to open up an opportunity for you. Maybe you saw yourself in Michael just a few minutes ago, and you saw yourself and you want to do this, but you feel like you're being jerked right back again. You want to do that for the Lord, but you feel like you're being jerked right back again. You feel like you're being controlled. Part of you has even thought, God, am I possessed? Because I can't. Why do I do the things I don't want to do and don't do the things I want to do? Because of the chains. But the good news is the Son will set you free. It's already been done. The price has already been paid. The ransom has already been given. The war has already been fought. The victory has already been had. You are already on the winning team. The prison cell that you're in doesn't have a lock on it. You can walk out anytime you want to. God has given you freedom. And so if that's your choice today, you're like, you know what? Yes. In this family that loves me, I'm not going to allow Satan to rob me of victory. In this family that cares about me, I'm not going to worry about being embarrassed because Satan's whispering in your ear right now that nobody needs to know your business. You know, you can do this at home. You can do this on your own. And he just doesn't want you to bring it out of the darkness and into the light. And so if you want victory in your life this morning, you just got to stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet right now and say, Lord, no longer am I going to be chained to the things of Satan. No longer am I going to be chained by this foolish way of thinking. No longer am I going to be chained by the things that I say. No longer am I going to allow myself to be chained. I am not going to keep going down the path of sin. I want you to deliver me. I need your help, God. And so I ask you to come. I ask you to come. We're going to sing one song in closing. And if you're serious about this, if you're serious about your chains being broken today, I want you to get out of your seat, make your way to the altar, and sing this song of victory. Whatever song God lays on your heart, Trinity, we're going to sing this song, and we're going to see that God is going to break the chains in your life, and he's going to attach you to his grace in greater proportion than ever before. So let's just get serious about the reason we came to church today. It's time to get real with God. I want you to put your hand on somebody that's near you. Just put your hand on their shoulder gently. Amazing grace. It is for freedom that Christ has set me free. So what I want you to do is declare freedom over that other person today, and they're going to be declaring freedom over you. So just in your words, begin to say, I declare freedom over this person's life. I declare freedom. Oh, come on now. Come on, prayer warriors. Come on, saints of God. Come on, family of the living mighty God. I declare freedom over my brother. I declare freedom over my sister. I declare freedom in Jesus' name. Let freedom roll. Let freedom rule. God, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and see the salvation of your mighty God. Freedom. Freedom today. Freedom today. Freedom today. Freedom today. freedom today. Freedom today in Jesus' name. There is freedom in the house of God today. There is freedom for the family of God today. We no longer need to walk in the same ways we've been walking in. We can walk in liberty, we can walk in justice, and we can walk in freedom. And that is the declaration of our hearts. That is our declaration of faith, that the supreme chain breaker has broken the chains. And now may the evidence of our old ways be a ministry to help so many others find freedom in their lives. We declare this yes and amen in the powerful, holy, awesome, anointed, unstoppable, unwavering name of Jesus Christ. And if you agree, say amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm telling you what, chains have been broken today. They've been broken today. They've been broken today. They've been broken today. Now, Satan's still got the chain. It might be a little shorter in your life, but he's still got the chain. So he's still going to try to give you choices. And listen, you got to remind yourself, look at that little thing dangling there. I'm not going back. I'm pressing forward toward the high calling found in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Can someone say amen? May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he give you rest, and may he give you peace. God bless you. New Life Church, Freedom Church, you are dismissed. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.